You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Now today, we're starting a brand new series. It's called Add to Heart. This is basically about finance and worship. The goal of this series is for us to know and understand and embrace as well that giving is a form of worship. And for this week, the title is The Only Person of Our Worship. We're talking about the object of our worship, whom we should worship, as well as having the right heart and attitude as well. So, if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn it to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. It says here in verse 4, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry, and why has your face fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Now, before we unpack those verses we just read a while ago, again, just a brief context. We're in the book of Genesis, and chapter 4 is very important because this takes place right after the fall. If you remember, in chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they were created by God. They were enjoying the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. But because of their sin, their rebellion, they disobeyed God, they were cast out from the garden. Okay, but still, God didn't abandon them completely. Okay, His grace was still there. And in chapter 4, we see here Adam and Eve, now they have a family. It starts with here in verse 1, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And just a quick tidbit or fun fact, Cain at this point is like the first baby ever in the world. Okay, see, Adam and Eve, they were not born, okay? They were created by God. So imagine this, the first, see Cain as a baby. And second, it says here, verse 2, and again, she bore another son, a brother to Cain, see Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain, a worker of the ground. So these are their two livelihoods, or their two work, basically. See, Abel is like a shepherd or a herdsman, and see Cain, a man, is basically a farmer. And this will all play out later in the next verse. In verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. So after harvest, this guy Cain brought an offering to God. And in verse 4, his brother Abel also brought an offering, but not fruits or vegetables or grain or anything from the ground. Ang iyang offering naman from his herd or from his sheep, the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And here's the thing, because of Abel's offering, God's response to his offering was, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. When you say God had regard, it's like getting a thumbs up basically from someone. And that's what God did. It's like a big giant thumbs up sa offering ni Abel. But for Cain, it says here in verse 5, for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. God had no regard for him. Not little regard, not slightly lower kang Abel, but says here, he had no regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. It was very sad basically. And you might ask, why is it that God had these two different responses to these two different offerings from these two brothers? Why is it that Abel's was accepted and Cain's was not? Is this simply a case of meat is more important than vegetables? To cut the long story short, the quick response to his speculations is, no, it's not because of that. In fact, if you would look at the Levitical system, this is what taught the Jewish people or the Israelites how to worship God, you would see that both animal and grain or plant offerings can be acceptable to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 2 and 4, it says here, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land, and the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place where the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. In verse 4, then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So basically, ma-accept ra gyapon ang offerings from plants, from the grain, from the fruit of the ground. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 19, it says here, all the firstborn males that are born of your herd and flock you shall dedicate to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. So in other words, both the fruits from the land and livestock can be an offering to God. So the question now is, why was Cain's offering rejected? So for that, we'll go back to the story. In verse 6, it says here, the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? Verse 7 is very important. If you do well, will you not be accepted? All right, God says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, if Cain did the right thing, his offering would have been accepted. In other words, this is not a story of God being unfair or God being picky. The fault is not on God. In fact, the fault here is on Cain because it says here, if he did well, if he did what was right, it would have been accepted, no questions. So meaning the fault here lies on Cain. Abel did something right, Cain did something wrong. So what did Abel do right ba that Cain was not able to do? So as we dig deeper in the story, we're going to jump all the way to Hebrews chapter 11. Because Hebrews chapter 11 references many of the people in the Old Testament. And in verse 4, it has this amazing statement about Abel. It says here, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. This verse says, more acceptable ang sacrifice ni Abel compared to Cain, through which he was commended or given high regard as righteous by commending him by accepting his gifts. What was that missing element why Abel's offering was accepted compared to Cain? It says here, it was done by faith. It was done by faith. The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Meaning Abel had this faith towards God. He wasn't just doing things mindlessly. In fact, in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says there that the people of old, this is how they received their commendation, by faith. Meaning faith is important. If you're wondering why is faith important, in verse 6, just two verses after this, says here, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We cannot please God without faith. In other words, Abel was able to please God because he moved in faith. His offering was done in faith. Because nowhere does the Bible say just giving material offerings to God works automatically. Worshipping God is not merely transactional. Worshipping God is not like, Lord, I did this, so let me get the blessing. Let me get the answered prayer I want, Lord God. It's not that. Our faith, the condition of our hearts matter. Giving with the right heart matters. And Abel demonstrated that when he moved in faith. He was moving in faith. He was offering in faith towards God. See, God looks at our hearts when we give. So in other words, the core conflict of this story between these two brothers is that one moved in faith and had the right heart and attitude towards worshiping God, and the other one did not. So we're going to look at those brothers and how they demonstrated their worship to God much more closely. Much like kung doctor ka, if you're going to diagnose someone, lantaw na yung symptoms. In the same way, we're going to look at the symptoms in the life of Cain and Abel and why is it that one was accepted and the other one was not. In verse 7, after Cain left and his face fell, he was sad, he felt rejected. God told him, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. If you do what is wrong, if you do what is evil, sin is crouching at the door. It signifies or it tells like sin is literally right there now. Its desire is contrary to you. In some translations, its desire is for you. It wants to rule over you, Cain. And God warns him, but you must rule over it. You mustn't let sin take control or rule over your heart. But look what happens in verse 8, right after God spoke to Cain and warned him of the sin in his heart. Verse 8 says, Cain spoke to his Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And take note, Abel didn't do anything to provoke Cain attacking him. And there's no temptation as well. Okay? Unlike Adam and Eve, like Eve get tempted as a serpent, there was no serpent in this story. Cain did this on his own. He moved on his own. Remember, sin was at his heart. That's why 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 says here, we should not be like Cain who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Okay? And it says their deeds, meaning this was not the one and only deed Cain did that was evil. If you think na, uy, nag-snap, parang before, okay, siguro si Cain, nag-snap lang siya, nag-sudden turn, himong evil siya, it's not that. In the NLT version, it says here, why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil. Meaning Cain was basically an evil person. He may have given an offering to God, but his heart was not towards God. His heart was not trying to worship God, trying to run after God. He didn't want to love God. His heart was evil. This guy had been doing evil deeds. He was going through the motions, much like dead religion. And not just that, in verse 9, even after he killed his brother, How Cain responded to God shows us well that this guy really didn't love God or didn't want to honor or worship God. It says here that the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't know where Abel is. Right? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He simply is giving Cain an opportunity to confess his sin, to talk about what he did. Much like what he did with Adam. Where are you, Adam? But Cain, if you look at his reply, it's very rude, arrogant, or impudent. It says here, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he's not talking to just any person or even to Adam and Eve, okay, his parents. He's talking to God. In other words, if you were to sum up all of Cain's actions, his words, his deeds, his life, it shows that this guy was evil. He may have, again, given an offering to God, but his heart was away from God. Matthew 15, verse 8 to 9 has a description of these kinds of people. Jesus says, "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching us doctrines, the commandments of men." Cain is pretty much like this one. Now, let's go naman to his brother, si Abel. If Cain is like trying to veer off from God, si Abel man is completely different. In verse 4, it says here, "After Cain gave his offering, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portion." So this was his offering from his flock. And those two descriptions, the firstborn and the fat portions, those are not merely random descriptions. Those two descriptions tells us that Cain's offering to God was extra special. Now, he went the extra mile offering something to God. Let's talk about the first description. It says, he brought of the firstborn of his flock. Meaning, from the lambs born, whether it was sheep or goats, the firstborn ana, he set it apart and dedicated it to God. And that's important. When you set aside something first for someone, it means that special na siya. The same way with Abel. Meaning, from his flock, he set aside something for God first. And not just that. It says here that the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Now, to state na he gave of their fat portions, it means na Cain gave the best parts of the lamb. Because the fat portions means na ang gikuan niya ng lamb is the healthiest, the ones with no disease, the cleanest, the best, the strongest, and the ones with most meat. Basically, ang best cuts gihatag niya. In other words, if you were to look at Abel's offering, you would see that he gave the best of what he had in his flock to God. He didn't give God something cheap, something that was not deserving of God. He gave the best of what he had towards God. And what this story tells us is not that God was picky or something like that. No, it tells us that God deserves our best. When we look at Abel's offering and why it was accepted, we see that for Abel to go the extra mile, it tells us that God deserves to be worshipped with our best. Whatever it is that we have, he deserves to be worshipped with our best. That's why accepted ang offering ni Abel. Ang attitude ni Abel towards worshiping God, it indicates his heart of wanting to honor God to the best of what he could do. He recognized, remember, he moved by faith. He had the right mindset or framework or theology towards God. This is the God of the universe. This is the God who created heavens and earth. This is the God who's given me all my blessings, my flock. He acknowledged that and is giving him the best that he could give as an offering or worship to God. And what this means for us is this question. Are we worshiping God with our best? Are we worshiping Him with our best? I'm not talking about just our giving lang. Rather, with all that we have, in all aspects of worshiping God, do we worship Him with the right heart? Much like Abel, does God get the premium of our time? Is God honored with our wealth? Do we worship God with our talents, our skills? Do we have joy in our hearts when we worship Him? In giving, in singing songs to God, in reading His word, in praying? All things that we do for God, all things that we have to do for God, do we have the right heart in doing so? Are we like Abel ba? If we were to assess our hearts and how we do things for God, are we like Abel ba? Or are we leaning towards more of Cain? Basta na'y mahatag na lang. Or are we like Abel, running after God, wanting to worship Him? Perhaps you're still thinking, okay, why should I go the extra mile to do this for God? If you look at Abel, why go through the extra mile, extra effort of worshiping God, giving an offering? Why did Abel do this? And why should we as well take this to heart and apply this in our lives? Romans 12 verse 1 says here, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." We may no longer need, okay, to bring animal sacrifices to God. But it says here that we ought to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, meaning our lives should be worship to God. Every area of your life, your studies, your relationships, your work, your finance, your health, is it like Abel's offering, which is a pleasing aroma to God? It says there in that verse na, do this because of all He has done for you. We want to know why God is worth it, why He's worthy to be praised and worshiped. Firstly, because of all He has done for us. We are so quick oftentimes to complain to God, to ask things of God. But how often do we give credit to God? How often do we thank God? How often do we thank Him for all the blessings we've received? And speaking of blessings, the most important one, of course, is the most important thing He has done for us. John chapter 3, verse 16, talking about what He has done for us, what He has given us. It says here in this verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." We started this story of two brothers giving offerings to God. One gave something, feeling niya passable lang. The other one went the extra mile. They didn't want to shortchange God and just wanted to give Him the best at what He had. Here in John chapter 3:16, we see God giving something that's like a million, billion times even greater than Abel's offering. For the problem of sin in the world, to solve the problem of sin, to redeem us, so that we can receive forgiveness, so that we can be saved, says here, God so loved the world that He gave His one only Son, Jesus. You want to know why God is worth it? Because of what He did for us. If the God of this universe did not shortchange you, wala siya nag-iinot ninyo, gihatag niya mismo His one only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins as like a sacrifice so that we can receive forgiveness from our sins. How can we not worship Him? How can we not worship Him with all that we have, with our best? How can we not have the right heart, the same-hearted attitude that Abel was exemplifying, knowing that this is what God did for us? He did not withhold His one only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. And take note, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. No amount of good deeds can say to God, "Lord, dapat ni mo gihatag ni, kay gibuhat na ako ni Lord." No. Apart from the intervention of God, we would all be headed towards damnation. The problem of sin would still continue to exist. We cannot save ourselves. And yet, by the grace and mercy of God, for God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, Jesus. But whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is what God did for us, church. This is why God is worthy of being the only person of our worship. Take note, the only person of our worship. No other being, creature, cause, whatever, nothing comes close, or nothing should come close to God being the only object of our worship, the only person of our worship rather. Siya lang. And if you want a reason, look no further than the cross. You want something to convince you that I should worship God, I should do this for Him, ano, mag-go ko extra mile. And take note, bahalag kapoy, bahalag tedious, bahalag you might not feel it at the moment. He deserves all of that. He is worthy of all of that because of who He is and what He has done for us.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.